Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? Yeah, we did have a nice day yesterday, and I don't know what my wife had to work, so I just found myself sitting on the couch, looking at TV, watching mindless TV. Then I finally went out and wondered why I had stayed in so long, because it was absolutely gorgeous. I was watching The Neighbors. I did do that, hanging lights from roofs, and it's like, long gone are the days that I will get on the roof to do anything, but my hope was that they would stay safe, amen? So we are going to, that's sort of the question of the day, of the day, is wherein lies your hope? And since that is this is the first Sunday of Advent, and hope is the first candle that is lit, I think it's appropriate. I find it incredibly appropriate that we would talk about hope and what it really means. I worked for a clinic several years ago, and our slogan was offering hope. And so, I consider myself a bit of a creative writer, and so I created an acronym for hope, and it came out, it looked like this: helping others persevere effectively. My boss thought it stunk, but it's like, well, says you. But helping others, and in helping others, we help ourselves to persevere effectively. After a year like this one, I don't think that I remember any other year being quite as active, I'm going to use that word, as this year has been. I think that hope has been sort of our stronghold, that hope has been our everlasting presence, that, you know, we hope that we get through this. We hope that we survive this. We've had to rearrange our lives to accommodate the guidelines of the CDC. We still are. According to your announcements, you know, the Iowa governor says, just knock it off. I guess that's what she said. I'm not quite sure. I think our governor and your governor, they must be sisters, because they do think a lot alike in some aspects. And so we're under that. What should we call that? Government that we need to follow the guidelines of the CDC. And so does that mean that we don't have hope? I think not. I think that means that, yeah, we're going to do the things that we need to do, yet still hold on to hope. We've had to trim our schedules. We've had to find masks that match our clothing. I was accused of that a couple Sundays ago. It's like, well, you know, when life gives you material, make masks. So you survey your closet and you think, well, that goes with that. I have this wonderful orange one because I really love the color orange. And I wore it to school one day, and people kind of looked at me like, you're just different. No, I'm matching. Not to make light of our situation, we also don't have to dwell in it to the point where it just paralyzes us. That's not hope. That's fear, and I understand fear in terms of following guidelines, but not fear that stifles us from being able to continue to live. We become very weary of anyone we feel might be infected. I remember I think I shared this when I was here earlier this month. I just remember one of my first trips to Hy-Vee, and that was our social outing at that time back in March. Yay! I get to go to Hy-Vee and get a ton of meds, and yeah. And so I was getting some other things, and there was this lady, you know, we're supposed to walk one way down the aisle, and she was coming the opposite direction. Much like driving in London, if you've ever had that experience, it's like you're backwards, you're doing this all wrong. Anyway, she was getting really close to my space. You know, I felt that I had this little territory covered, and I just remember giving her a look. You know, I don't know what exactly it looked like. Have you ever seen your own face when you're looking some kind of way? And so she just looked at me like, dude, really? So then I just thought, Robin, stop. And I don't know how many times I've had to tell myself to just stop. We live in hope. And so far, so good. But I just remember that was so funny. Well, it wasn't funny at the time, but it was funny thinking about it later. We may have been nervous anytime we experienced a symptom, you know, anytime someone coughed around us. You know, there we go. We tense up. We wonder, what does that mean? I think my greatest experience was when a day that we were doing, I had my students doing presentations in class, because sometimes they get to teach. It's like, you know, I get paid, but you're teaching today. And that happens every semester. It's no surprise. It's in the syllabus. We're going to do this. That was the day. And so, you know, keeping social distancing in mind and, you know, that was the day I went and got some Microban, you know, that 24-hour disinfectant stuff. I mean, I just squirted that old room down. I said, you know, nothing, anything comes close, we're just not going to have it. And so, got an email like 4 a.m, not that I was up, saw it the next morning from a student that had done a presentation who started having symptoms, you know, in the middle of the night and so on and so forth. Turns out he was positive and really went through a rough couple of weeks. And so then the students in his group, you know, they kind of isolated and, you know, we all came out okay, but, you know, kind of had me concerned. Is like, you know, that close? Yes, that close. Somebody said that close. I like when they do that. And then I have to remind myself, wherein lies my hope? Where's my faith? Where's my trust? You know, all of that just comes into play. Love, you know, glad to report that all, you know, he's doing fine and, you know, had to get caught up on some work and, you know, of course we allowed for that. And because I think we live in hope. I hope that we live in hope. Perhaps sometimes we find ourselves with a task that simply looks too big for us, whatever that might be. And in times like these, we do not just need a cup of God's strength added to our own. Rather, we need a strength in us to do what we need to do. Lord, give me strength. That's sort of my wife's request every morning. I hear her because she, most times I have to get up before she does, but Lord, give me strength. Every day. And then I remember that was what her mom would always say, Lord, give me strength. And I think that's an okay request to make, especially in the morning. Lord, give me strength. And he will give it. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That line says it all. My strength. In order for us to know God's strength, we have to become weak. Well, weak in what? Does it mean we just crawl in or curl up? No, it just means that we submit ourselves to him. And then he perfects who we are as humans in order for us to serve him as well as humanity. So I love that. I mean, that was Paul's request when he sought the Lord 3 times. He says, you know, this thorn, you know, I've got this, whatever it was. Some thought it was migraine headaches, and, you know, other theologians came up with other things. But whatever it was, Paul said, I don't want to live like this. I can't do this. And God says, but my grace, let me tell you, I can just see God, you know, if he was anything like me. He said, look, I told you once, I'm tell you again, my grace is sufficient. And isn't that enough to just make us silence ourselves? My grace is sufficient. Good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. He says to us, my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect. My strength in you is made perfect in your weakness. So seeing our weakness as the entry point of God's strength gives access to his power. Wherein lies your hope? The scripture persuades us not to put our hope in man, but how often do we really do just that? friend of mine's mom is in Sioux Falls from Houston because she just didn't want to be in Houston by herself during this time. And so, you know, she's definitely paralyzed to the house, just in all kinds of anxiety. And so she just won't leave the house. And he says that she just watches CNN day in, day out. And because our hope might extend itself to waiting for the good news that this is over, this is done, this is complete. That's her hope, I believe, and it's my hope. I believe it's your hope. But I'm not going to sit around and watch CNN, you know, because that's not where my hope lies. Yes, it's good information, but for people of faith, I don't think it ends with Dr. Fauci. I really didn't know how to pronounce his name, but that doc, you know, that I think has some pretty good information for us to live by, but that's not where our hope lies. Our hope, according to Scripture, is in Christ Jesus. By the way, do we sometimes confuse hope with trust? Now we're adding something else to the pot. It's like, oh my gosh. Speaking of adding things, so I did a little bit of cooking for Thanksgiving. My wife does some light catering, so she filled a lot of orders. And I would get started on, because I've been out of school since Tuesday. Yay me. Don't go back to January 11th. Yay me. Or I'll sub in between, but it's like, I have a lot of time on my hands. I can experiment with recipes and add this and add that. And so she'll get home. What did you do? I hope you didn't. I hope you did. And did you? And I hope, well, as long as you have hope, you'll never be disappointed. It's about what I told her. But we, you know, we need to add trust, is what I'm saying, to our hope. Who do we trust? There's a scripture that talks about whose report are you going to believe? And then it ends up saying, I'm going to believe in the report of the Lord. However that shakes out. You know, hope is that thing that, you know, I heard Tanner talking about Christmas and the waiting room and that whole thing. And so we sit around and we, you know, as kids I did, it's like, oh, I hope, you know, I was kind of hoping, it's like, I hope I didn't get those ugly pants. I hope I didn't. I was hope on the opposite spectrum. I hope I didn't versus I hope I did. Go figure. But it's anticipation. It's what do we do in anticipation? What do we do? I like that I'm going to borrow Dr. Seuss. What do we do while we're waiting? What are we waiting for? I hope the world gets back to some sense of normalcy. I think that's our hope. But then it's going to help us to redefine what was it in the first place? You know, if this is the new norm, what was the old one really like? And was it really that bad? Or is this much better? I guess we each have to define our hope. It's another thing to declare with our heart and mind that the world will go back to some sense of normalcy. But is the beginning of trust hope, or is the beginning of hope trust? Lots of good questions to kind of ponder. The scripture also declares that if we put first our hope, then our trust in the Lord, we are as trees planted by rivers of running waters. Didn't say that, but I added that. Because stagnated water probably is not going to serve. But running waters, and versus if we don't put our hope in the Lord, we will just dry up. We will be affected by everything that comes along. If it's a sunny, hot day, we will be affected. If it's a cold, windy day, we will be affected. It's kind of like the people that you can tell people that don't live in hope because they never have anything positive going on in their life. And it's like sometimes I want to say, is there just one thing? Because, you know, I when I'm working with people, I rarely ask them what's wrong. I want to go the opposite direction, opposite of how I live. Tell me what's going well. And sometimes talk about the waiting room. I'm waiting to find what is possibly going well. You know, other than the fact that you're walking, you're talking, you're seeing, you're hearing. Clearly you've been fed. Little inside joke. And so tell me what's going well in your life. And if we can just get a... That's instilling hope. That's the goal. Because if we focus more on what's going well, then the enemy cannot infiltrate us to always live in negativity, always live in that darkness, always live in that despair, always living in that, sometimes that desire not to live in some cases. But if our hope is in the Lord, then we would be like that tree, firmly rooted, firmly. Let the wind blow. Let the snow come. Let the rains come. That tree, we used to sing a song when I was little about just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. That's when stubbornness can really have its way, when we will not be moved from our hope in the Lord Jesus. During this season of Advent, I pray that you strike a pose that renders you hopeful rather than hopeless. During this season of Advent, I pray that you strike a pose that renders you trusting rather than fretting. Give hope a chance. I think that was a theme. I don't know if it was throughout the 70s or the 80s. I just remember give hope a chance. Give it a try. Give it a try, for Pete's sake. You might, what was it, the old Life commercial? Try it, you might like it. And let hope work its work in the very essence of who you are. Sometimes my biggest hope, especially in the wintertime, is that I can successfully go from the house to the car without breaking something, primarily on me. You know, it's bad when you slip and fall on rocky ground. It's just like, it's not good. And I remember just a couple years ago, I fell. I was hoping and trusting that I wouldn't fall, and boom, I went down like bowling pins. Now, was that due to my lack of hope? I wonder what that was all about. Why did I go down? Maybe because God needed to perfect himself in me. Because it's like, well, while you're down there, because he says to me, I know you're old, and it's going to take you a minute to get up. So while I've got you where I want you, let me just speak these little words to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm reminded of a song that I learned years ago, and some of the words in the chorus was, stand the storm. It won't be long. We'll anchor by and by. Stand the storm, it won't be long, and we'll anchor by and by. So I'm reminded of, again, you should know by now that I'm a visual person, so I get this visual of a ship that's out on the sea, and it's stormy, it's terrible, and the wind is just sort of having its way with the boat, and the boat is trying to stay where it needs to be to get the passengers to safety. And I'm a firm believer that the storm doesn't last forever. Just like I'm a firm believer that winter doesn't last forever. And then I have to remind myself, in order to not get seasonal affective depression, I have to remind myself that it's just a season. Let it go. because the sun does shine in the wintertime. So I hope that your hope is really built on Jesus Christ, because anything less than that, I think the song that we're going to sing suggests that it is sinking sand. Anything less than that is sinking sand. Amen? I haven't heard you say amen once. I better start over.
Amen.
Amen. So let's sing our song. And that really finishes the message for us today.
I invite you to stand with us as we sing our last song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. So as you go today, go in hope. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.